and welcome to the Antioch Fort Worth Weekly Podcast. At Antioch, our desire is to cultivate a passion for Jesus and his purposes on the earth. To connect with us in community, partner with us through giving, or visit on a Sunday morning, please visit antiochfortworth.com.
Good morning, church. Good morning, Antioch. Thank you so much, Pastor Jamie, and I am quite excited and honored to be here this morning speaking to all of you. My wife Sony and I have been attending Antioch for the last 5 years, and we've been welcomed into this church, and I'll be talking a lot about that and what our life has been in this church. But before I do that, I want to welcome everyone here this morning. Thank you so much for joining with us. I want to especially welcome those who are joining us online. My dad and mom from India are probably joining online as well, so we're thankful for them. It's just been an honor. It's been so encouraging to be listening and learning about the wonderful diversity of experiences and what the Lord is teaching different people in the church through this series. And I'm just very excited that I get to be a part of that. A little bit about ourselves, for those of you who don't know me and Sony, I want to share a couple of quick pictures. So this is us, my wife Sony and I, and we have a puppy who's going to turn one soon, Archie. So we are excited for that birthday coming up. Also have a picture of my extended family, my dad and mom, Matthews and Daisy. They live in India and serve in central India. And my sister Asha and brother-in-law Bryce, they're actually visiting us this weekend and here, so very thankful for you guys. They live in Lexington, Kentucky. And we also have some more family from DC, my sister-in-law and their family, the kids are here, and some cousins from various parts of DFW. So thankful for all of you guys to be here. Of course, my family doesn't just end there. I'm part of the Antioch family, and a lot of that happens in the life groups that we've been part of. We've been so blessed to be part of one life group for the time we've been at church here, and very thankful for the Giles and the Reynolds who have given us leadership and led during the time that we've attended there. But it's not just about the leaders, it's what we do as a family, as we come together and we grow together and mature and encourage each other. There have been times where we've gone literally on walks. People from the life group have taken on walks to parks, to various different places in the seasons we were walking, and put our arm around our shoulders and encouraged us, allowed us to dream. We ran and bounced ideas with them. So it's not just these sort of theoretical, theological conversations that we are having, but just everyday life things. And that's really what the series is about. So very thankful for that and the growth and maturity that we are gaining within the life group space. This year, we've had the privilege to step into leadership ourselves within the life group, and we are so excited for that. And I'm very thankful for what the Lord has in store for us. In addition to that, we've been blessed and been part of the ADS program. I do not get paid to say this, but it is a wonderful program. And I was part of the class of 2021. We call ourselves, that's right, I see some in here. We were part of the COVID class, so it was a very special class, and James and Sarah led us through all these different practices we had to do with our masks on when we stood up, and sometimes I'm like, I stand up and I put my mask, or it's the other way around, you know? But that was such a transformational time for us as well. For me specifically, one of the biggest takeaways was Jesus looking into parts of my heart and asking me to surrender some of those pieces, some of those corners that I hadn't fully surrendered. In particular, one of the biggest takeaways for me was this part of me that still needed to relinquish the judgment seat to Christ the King. I still wanted to be the judge, and even though not always planning for that, but there were times where I wanted to look across the pew, across the aisle, and be a little judgmental. But that was a season where Jesus truly met me and taught me that my job was to be his son and be a steward and a brother and walk alongside those he has put in my life. And the judgment seat belongs to Jesus the King. Amen? Amen. So yeah, highly recommend ADS for anyone who is not part of that. So, and the whole point of all of what I'm saying is I wouldn't be here without the Antioch Fort Worth Church community. You guys have poured into us, built us, and we look forward to continuing to do that. And the other interesting thing that I find about the variety that we have in the body is just we're from various different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different accents, different age groups. And Jesus still brings us together as a body and works and molds and grows us together and all of that. Amen. Talking about accents, you might be wondering which one's mine. I am what they call the melting pot, just like America. I have what you're hearing is about 14 years of Indian accent in there. I went to a British boarding school, so I had like very strong British and Australian boarding accent sort of pour into me. And then I came to college in America, so you're hearing 5 years of Boston, 2 years of Philadelphia, and a whole decade of New York City. So, but of course, I cannot forget the 5 years of Fort Worth that is now in me. So it's quite the melting pot. And I am starting to say y'all a lot more, you know? So yeah, that's right. So very, very thankful. And but more seriously, what I'm trying to say is that's how our body is, right? We are surrounded by an amazing cloud of witnesses, and Jesus is working in each and every one of our lives and allowing us to look and point to him and walk in our faiths to him. So this morning, we're going to be reading the word very soon, but I wanted to just give a little bit of background on why I picked this particular scripture. In the series that preceded this one, Into the Heart of God, we were studying from the book of John. And one of the stories that really impacted me was Thomas's story. He was someone who didn't always walk with perfect faith. He had his moments of doubts and questions, but Jesus met him where he was at and transformed his life around. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So I invite you all to stand up, and we will read from John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. And I'll read for us. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here in my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Praise be to God. You may be seated. All right. So the main thing that I want to share with you this morning is Jesus is willing to meet us where we are at, and so that we may be radically transformed by him to pursue the specific purposes he has for our lives. So the first thing I want to share is Jesus meeting Thomas in his situation, in that specific state of mind that he was at, where he had some questions and doubts, and he's willing to walk into his life and work within that situation. Thomas is at this point probably walked with Jesus for about 3.5 years. And he's seen Jesus do all the miracles, all the great works. He's seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. And he's also heard him talk about his crucifixion and resurrection. And yet, the preceding week to when this miracle that we just read about happens, It was a very confusing and tough week for all the disciples. Emotions of fear, anxiety, doubt, I'm sure were clouded in their minds before they saw the risen Christ. To add to that, it seems Thomas misses out on the first visit of Jesus to all the disciples. I wonder if he was taking one for the team and doing a grocery run. Or was he truly perhaps in a state where he just didn't feel to be in the fellowship and needed to be away, you know, in a secluded place? We don't know that detail, but what we do know is he's very clear to his other disciples that unless I see Jesus and see his marks in his side, I will not believe. Now, you may say that this could be fairly insulting to Jesus, given that this preceding weekend he has gone and taken on the sins of all of humanity, past, present, and future, and he's died the most gruesome death and risen from the dead, and one of his own inner circle, the person he's walked with for so long, is not willing to believe him. That must have been hurtful for Jesus. I also think of the other disciples who, essentially, Thomas is not willing to believe their testimony. We've walked as brothers together for so long. We've seen thick and thin, and now you're not even willing to believe our word that Jesus has risen from the dead. They could have been feeling offended or hurtful in that situation. And it would have been easy to abandon Thomas in that situation, both for Jesus and the other disciples. But that's not what Jesus does. And that's what we are so thankful for. He walks in a week's time into the room where Thomas, this time around, happens to be in the room, and he walks straight up to him and gives access to his body. He actually answers the very exact questions that Thomas has without any sort of condemnation or talking down to him. And that is the heart of Jesus that I want to highlight this morning. He is willing to walk with you and walk to the mess, the circumstances that perhaps it's hard for you to even share with someone else. He is faithful. He is the shepherd who will not abandon that one sheep even when he has the 99 with him. So Jesus is willing to meet us no matter what situations we find ourselves this morning. I don't know all the situations and thoughts that are going through your mind this morning, but I know some of us might be in a very similar situation to Thomas. Perhaps there are some doubts, questions on faith, or where we are in life. I just want to encourage you, you can invite Jesus into those situations. He wants to walk into those situations for you and transform them. Perhaps you're or someone who has a great walk with the Lord, but you have family members or perhaps coworkers or others around you who are walking through a situation of hardship or just struggling with something. Again, I want to point to the other disciples and their heart towards Thomas. They didn't want the fellowship to be broken. Even though he missed that first interaction with Jesus, they're like, Thomas, you got to come back. We're having a great meal and having some hummus and pita today. You know, you got to be here. And when you invite them in love and fellowship, Jesus does show up. He showed up in the room, and this time around, Thomas was there to witness that. So let that be an encouragement to you, those of you that is us, that if that speaks to you. You may be walking through other situations in life, perhaps waiting for a healing in a season that just seems to not be coming through. Perhaps you're waiting for, you know, been praying for a life partner or for children or for a variety of different prayer requests that sometimes it's even hard to speak out publicly about. But I just want you to know that Jesus wants to be in that. He wants to meet you in each and every one of those situations. There is no situation too irredeemable, no situation that is too far-fetched for him to be able to intervene and bring his work in that situation. So we thank you, Jesus, for that. I want to share a little bit of personal testimony from my life where this was very real. As I mentioned, before we moved to Texas, we lived in New York City. And as someone in my mid-20s, I first showed up in New York City. And for me, it was after a lot of hard work, growing through undergraduate program and grad programs in a foreign country, trying to keep the GPAs going so that I don't get kicked out of the country, all these sort of, what it felt like was just really pursuing hard and working hard. And it felt like finally I had a job that was a validation of a lot of that. I just finally felt that God and man was recognizing me. And I was ready to hit the world and, you know, really growing up, having read a lot of these stories about rags to riches and how hard work and these sort of values kind of get you there, I was really, really excited to be in that space. But very quickly, in that first season of my time in New York, I was in some trouble, more specifically with my job. I was transitioning from economics and finance, which is what I had studied, into technology, and it was an uphill task. I would be working every night, close to 10 p.m., midnight often in that first season, and it just felt like all I would do is go back home, lie on the bed, and catch the train the next morning and back to work. It was a season of a lot of loneliness and just feeling very lost. There was one particular incident when I was, it was 1 a.m, I still clearly remember it. I was in Penn Station, which is one of the big stations if you've been in New York, and lining up for my train. And, you know, 1 a.m. on a Friday evening, and I see a group of what seemed like people my age walking out, and they were probably coming in from Long Island into the city for a night of partying. And I seem to ask myself deep down in my heart, Lord, I am what I think making the responsible choices, what you have called me to do. And here I am feeling like I don't see you in this situation. I feel like those around me are having and doing well and being successful. And here I am trying to do the right thing, trying to follow on your words, and almost feeling embarrassed at what's going on in my life. But Jesus was so faithful to me. For me, it wasn't a quick transformation like Thomas in the sense of, you know, it was an overnight thing. It actually took a couple of years before things started to get more normal and for me to be able to handle what was going on at work. But in that season, Jesus met me on a daily basis. He started encouraging me through the body of Christ that he had put around me. I built a wonderful relationship with my parents during that season because, of course, I had left home early in my life. And this was an opportunity, even though we were separated by across the world, we would intercede and pray through FaceTime on a regular basis. And that just built so much more faith in me and just renewed my relationship with them and made that so much stronger. He was working in that season for me. And it wasn't the answer I was looking for because I wanted something dramatic to happen at work and things to just go away and be successful there. But he started to build in me what he the faith and the understanding of living in faith in an everyday life. He started to build in me the understanding that no matter the circumstances, I was called to trust in him. I was called to know that he is my shepherd and he will walk me through. And the wonderful thing about this is the tough situations in life, they don't end, right? They come with us with seasons and as you grow older. But those lessons that I learned in my mid-20s are holding me strong when I walk through similar situations today. So I just want to encourage everyone here and just tie back to what I've been saying. Jesus is willing to walk into our situations, and he's willing to meet us no matter what doubts, what situations that you're going through. For Thomas, it was not being able to recognize the risen Christ. For me, it was not being able to handle corporate America and all that it brings. But whatever it is for you, he is faithful, and he's willing to meet you. But the wonderful thing is it doesn't just stop there. He just doesn't meet us and make things better, but he is interested in radically transforming us. He is interested in putting us onto a path that he has planned for us. And that's just exactly what we see in Thomas's life. So when we read in the scripture that we just read, we see how Thomas, so far, hasn't had quite that big confession moment, at least we are not told in the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, we read Peter having this great kind of confession, right? Where he calls, he talks to Peter, to Jesus, and he says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Thomas has walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, but we are not quite told about such a moment that he has had. But this particular time where Jesus meets him, he has that change of heart. There are no more excuses. There's no more part of his heart that he's trying to hold back anymore. He's fully and completely willing to surrender everything that he has. And in that moment, he says those famous words, "My Lord and my God." That proclamation is just truly an outward sort of verbal way of showing what is going on in his heart. We don't read about Thomas much after this in the Gospels and in the Scripture, in the New Testament. But there's a strong Christian tradition that tells us that not 20 years after Thomas was, after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that Thomas traveled to South Asia. He landed on the shores of South India at the time, and he helped plant a few house churches. And his story, again, doesn't end the way we would expect it to. He was martyred for his faith. And one would think, you know, couldn't there be more of an impact with such a powerful man of God? But the story continues to this day. Fast forward 2,000 years, the state, the modern state within India of Kerala, where Thomas landed all those years ago, is dramatically looks very different to the rest of the country. In a country of 3% Christians, the state of Kerala has 30% Christians. And now you might say 30% is still not that impressive, but we're talking about 1.5 billion people. 30% of that is in that state. That's millions and millions of people who have given their life to Jesus. Not just that, thousands of indigenous missionaries have gone from Kerala to not just India, but other parts of South Asia in the preceding centuries. The ripple effects of what Thomas did and walked in are continuing to be felt even to this day. And this is where I get goosebumps, because this story becomes personal for me. My parents and my grandparents, they are actually from that very same state in Kerala. And 40 years ago, my parents left all that they had, just like Thomas had probably all those years ago, and moved to central India to a people group and a place that was very foreign to them, even though it's the same country. For example, my mom didn't even speak the main language where she was moving to. The first 6 months of the church was really in our living room with the three of us worshiping. At that time, my sister wasn't born. And, you know, they would be inviting people to come and be part of the service, but no one would show up on Sundays. And they still worshiped and prayed and, you know, did all the things that they envisioned the church would be. I was 2 years old at the time, and I can tell you I didn't help much with the worship or the exhortation. But the Lord was faithful. He added to their numbers slowly. In the last 40 years, four decades, hundreds of people have come and been transformed and seen the radical transformation in their lives. And I say it's radical because for a lot of them, when they say yes to Jesus, it means saying no to every single social circle, every single worldview and friend circle that they had known. They're most of the time completely ostracized from the situations that they have known. And yet, they say yes to Jesus. And the reason is because they've been radically transformed in their hearts. It cannot be something that you just fake for a season, but rather they believe in Jesus' words when he says that I am with you to the very end of the age. Even when I say no to everything else that I know, all the world and everything that I've known so far, I still know, Jesus, you are faithful and you have a plan and you're leading me through that. Yes. Amen? Yes. So, as I was saying this morning, and I want to keep going back to our main thing, Jesus is willing to meet you where you're at, no matter which country, which worldview, which background you're in, He is universally willing to come and be with people, and He continues to do that across the world. But He's also in the business of transforming lives, transforming hearts, and bringing people closer and having a walk that is more powerful and closer to them. But the wonderful thing about the passage that we just read was the story doesn't quite end there. I almost imagine, I know there was no cameras in that time, but I almost imagine Jesus saying these last words in the scripture which we read and looking into the camera and saying, "Blessed are you, Thomas, because you see me and you believe, but blessed are those who do not see and yet believe." And that brings a smile to my face because I know I'm in that group. Of course, we walk with Jesus on a daily basis, but we did not get to see on this side of eternity what Thomas and the other disciples did. But this is Jesus' encouragement to all those who would follow him. He wants us to truly be people who would be called to this great calling. And to me, this is what it means to be a signpost people. People who are willing to say yes to Jesus, allow him to walk into our hearts and lives, and then be transformed by him, and then be set on the paths, the specific plans that he has set for us. For Thomas, this journey, I'm sure, just didn't start on the shores of India. It took him 20 years after Jesus ascended to heaven to go on that final voyage that he did. In that meantime, I imagine that he would have had to walk through everyday life just like we do. He would have probably had amazing miracles and seen some amazing power from Jesus being displayed in the lives of those he was touching. But I'm sure there were also seasons and moments where there were perhaps not the same doubts, but other questions that came up in his life. I also imagine that Thomas didn't do this all by himself. He was surrounded by the body, by the believers that were with him. He did not walk in this alone, and that's the other encouragement I have for us. As we walk as signpost people, we're not called to do this just all on our own. There's no way anybody can just go through every season, up and down, and just go through life and do this. And he has put the body around us for this very purposes. So, I have a picture here that I wanted to share with you of the various signposts from all the cities I've lived in. At least I think they're the majority of cities. And as you can see, a lot of times, the job of a signpost is to point to what it's supposed to, no matter what the weather is outside. When it's a beautiful 70s weather, or pick your perfect temperature, a signpost is supposed to be real and pointing to what it's called to point to. But also, a signpost is supposed to do that in the middle of a hurricane. It's very similar, I think, in the life that we are called to, that we are called to point to Jesus no matter which season of life we are walking through. We are called to, as Pastor Jamie always says, operate in the various spheres of influences that God has placed us in. That's what we are called to do. Just be and point to Jesus. And for me and Sony, in this season of our life, this looks like a season of waiting. We've been praying for a couple of years for physical healing and not always understanding why, Lord, would you not show up a little earlier? We have moments of doubts, but that's when we have those around us continuing to pray and encourage for us. But we also know one thing. We're not called to just sit on the sidelines and wait for everything to be better before we jump into the game. You know, I've heard so many people talk about TCU versus Baylor and all these sports references, and I thought I'll bring my special sport. I'm a passionate cricket follower and lover. And there's one thing about cricket, especially if you're a batsman. You know, you play a game that's about 8 hours long, but you could walk into bat and be out the very first ball you face. And all you're doing is sitting in the shed on the sidelines, waiting, watching everyone else play. And that's what I think about when in the life and the place that the Lord has called us, we're not called to just sit on that sideline and wait and watch. The Lord has placed us in a neighborhood. We get to be part of, as I said, we have a puppy now, so these walks that we go on around our neighborhood, and there are all the other dog owners that come out, and natural conversations are happening there. It's a place to just build trust and build, be able to invite them to our homes, invite them into our lives. For us, that's what it means being a signpost in our neighborhood. We are also, as I mentioned, in a life group. And that is an opportunity for us to continue to learn and grow with others. I highly recommend, if you are not part of a life group, we have so many opportunities each Sunday here to sign up for one. It's an opportunity to just come alongside others and be encouraged and be built and grow together. And so that's where we are at in this season. We get to, on some days, just be there and get prayed on by others, because that's what we are in that very Wednesday evening. But there are other times when a brother or a sister needs us to step up and encourage them, and we get to do that. We are also being, the Lord has placed a burden on our hearts to partner with those that are working in Central India. And the way we do that is specifically a ministry around women and children from low socioeconomic groups. So we, living here, get the opportunity to tell that story through a nonprofit and anybody who would hear that. And that is a way for us to hopefully bring restoration and transformation in the lives of those who do not know Jesus or those who are downtrodden. We also happen to have jobs. Sunny's a teacher and I'm a software engineer. And we've been brainstorming and thinking about this with between ourselves and our family members on how we could use the skill sets the Lord has given us for His kingdom. So not too long ago, we started a business's transformation effort where Sonia and I will bring our admin and our technology skills together, and we help develop a business within Central India. And the purpose of this business is obviously to do well and to add value to the clients and customers that it serves, but it's also a wonderful signpost that points to Jesus in all the interactions it does. So this is what it looks like for us as a family to be operating with the Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Fort Worth, United States of America, and to the ends of the earth. And that, I believe, is what a lot of us here, because I know some of the personal stories of people sitting here, are doing. If you happen to be in a season of life and you're just wondering, man, I really want to live this transformed life and I really want to impact something out there, my encouragement to you this morning is you have already been placed in a place where you can be that signpost. We all live in neighborhoods. We have workplaces that we are associated with. It's a great opportunity to be able to start practicing what it looks like to be a signpost no matter what the season we are living in. So for me, this is what Jesus has called us to. When He says He's a good shepherd, I am called to trust Him no matter which season of life I'm walking through, and just operating in the places that He has put me in. And knowing, just like Thomas, may take 20 years, maybe 6 months, eventually He will lead us to the paths that He has set for us, the purposes, the specific purposes He has set for us. And that is my encouragement to you this morning. So following Jesus, leading daily, and trusting in Him through the challenging and tough times, and not leaving the game. Staying in it, allowing Jesus to show up in the room, because He will do amazing things. So to summarize everything I've been saying this morning, we invite Jesus in the tough, hard situations in our places, in our hearts, in our lives. And if you happen to be one where that is not what you're walking through, that's great. It's an opportunity to get around those who are in that season. But we want Jesus to show up and invite him into those situations so he can start working within us and transforming us. And then he sets us on a path through everyday life and everyday living and being a signpost to all those people and all those people he has put us around. So to me, this is what a victorious Christian life looked like. For a long time, I thought that just means it was a lot of wins. You just keep winning, right? But victorious Christian life is just being a signpost and trusting in the faithfulness of Jesus in the place he has placed you at. And he is faithful, and he will lead you. So this is an opportunity for us to respond to this word this morning. Every Sunday we do this, where we ask the Lord to show us personally and specifically how he would want us to respond and what he wants to be doing within our hearts. And I know that is a reality this morning. A lot of us sitting here going through various situations, I know he wants to work in our hearts and transform and renew it. So at this point, I'm going to ask all of us to stand up, and I'm going to invite the worship band and the ministry team to come up forward. This is a powerful time that I've been so blessed by so many times, being able to be part of the ministry team, but also be prayed on. It's an opportunity for you to be able to bring the things you're wrestling with in this season of your life. Again, I just want to encourage you, there's no situation that is too hard for Jesus to work in. If you are wrestling, you're in doubts, that is okay. We're so glad you're in the room and those who are listening to us online. If you're struggling or seeing someone else struggling around you, this is an opportunity for us to practice what the other disciples were practicing. This is an opportunity for us to invite, allow them to come into the fellowship and let Jesus do his work. And finally, if you're someone who has proclaimed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've called him my Lord and my God, but the next step, the next season is not quite clear to you, this is again an invitation to just ask the Lord, Lord, would you show me what this next season looks like, what this next step looks like? And there are people here who are willing to pray and partner with you and help you through this situation. And of course, if there's anything else, any other life situation, anything else that you're going through, this is again a wonderful opportunity to do that. I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this morning. We're so thankful, Jesus, that you care about us and you care the various specific different situations that we are walking through. You are faithful, Lord, and we know this through our experiences that we have lived out through our lives. But Lord, we invite you this morning in the various situations, the various trials, the various unanswered prayers, we invite you in those situations. And we know that you're faithful and willing to transform and change us and renew us and make us walk us towards restoration. We also thank you that you have a specific purpose for our life, Lord, and you're walking us towards those purposes. We thank you and we praise you, and we give this time before you and ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.